All right, welcome to our service this morning. Good to see you here. Take a Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, and happy Father's Day. And all of you who are fathers, and hope you're thankful for your father. All right, Ephesians chapter number 5. And let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. Thank those who've come and help us, Lord, to open up our hearts to receive thy words and help me to present them. And Lord, if there should be somebody here not saved, help that one to come to Christ. But Lord, especially for us who are saved, that we take heed to these things and seek to implement them in our lives, that our homes would be strong and our church would be strong because of strong homes. And Lord, help us to that end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5. Happy Father's Day once again. And 6 weeks ago, it was Mother's Day. And on Mother's Day, I preached to avoid harming, be a prince charming, which primarily spoke to the husbands. But a home, many a home, also has a wife. And a wife has a big part of making a home what it should be. And so my message this Father's Day is, wives, do your part, be a sweetheart. Wives, do your part, be a sweetheart. Again, wives, do your part, be a sweetheart. Now, how are you going to do your part by being a sweetheart? Let me give you three things. First, wives, do your part to be a sweetheart by sweetly submitting. Sweetly submit, not grudgingly submit while gritting your teeth and mumbling under your breath. No. Scripture teaches that wives, do your part to be a sweetheart by sweetly submitting. Look at Ephesians 5:22. It says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So just as the church is to be subject to Christ, so the wife should submit to her husband. It's interesting that the word submitting in verse 22 and the words is subject in verse 24 about the church are both from the same Greek word. And so there is a direct comparison here. What the church should do to Christ, the wife should do to the husband. Now, would it please the Lord if the church grudgingly submitted? Would that show proper respect to the Lord? Would it please the Lord if the church, while outwardly doing what the Lord wanted, was questioning what the Lord wanted and was just going through the motions and didn't do it heartily as to the Lord? No, it wouldn't please the Lord. You know, the Lord wants the church to submit to him joyfully, full-heartedly, willingly, lovingly, yes, sweetly. Now, sometimes the church does not always understand why the Lord wants a certain thing done a certain way, but the church is to sweetly submit, trusting that the Lord knows best. And likewise, the wife should sweetly submit to her husband. Now, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so here then is a beautiful picture of what a marriage should be. The husband's being the prince charming, loving his wife, and the wife's being a sweetheart by sweetly submitting. That may sound like the stuff of fairy tales, but it is not. It is what God wants, and it can be a reality in your marriage if each are doing his and her parts. So wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly submitting. Look at verse 33. It says in verse 33, this is a great miss. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The word reverence is the word that the Bible often translates as fear. And it is the word from which we get our English word phobia. Now, The idea is not, it is not that the wife should be scared to death of her husband. No, that's not the idea. The idea is that she is to show her husband a great deal of respect. And so therefore you don't tell him off, swear at him, put him in his place, give him a piece of your mind, or the such like. You sweetly submit. You're to treat him with a reverence and deference. And so wives, do your part, be a sweetheart by sweetly submitting. Now, sometimes a wife gets frustrated with her husband and she complains about him to others, but that's not reverencing your husband. Now, no husband is perfect, but you are to reverence him. His sin cannot be an excuse for you to sin. Well, he's not doing what he should do, so I can not do what I should do. No, that's not how it works. You do what you should do even if he's not doing what he should do. You pray for him. Don't be complaining about him to others. And if he has sinned against you, however, talk to him about it, but do it in a proper way. So wives, sweetly submit. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. Colossians 3 and verse 18. Colossians 3:18, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Here's the word submit again, the same one that Ephesians 5:22 and 5:24 uses. So a wife's submitting, it says, as is fit in the Lord. It is fit. It is proper. It is becoming. Which means that when a wife does not submit, it is unfit, improper, and unbecoming. Now, a wife submitting is a fit in the Lord, which means this is what the Lord wants. It may not be what you want, what your flesh wants, but it's what the Lord wants. And it is clear from how God created. You know, God took the woman out of the man, Genesis 2, 21 and 22. And the man then was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 9. And so creation shows that the wife is to be subject to the husband. Now, if a wife does not submit to her husband, she gives cause for the word of God to be blasphemed, according to Titus 2:5, which teaches that young women are to be obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so this sweetly submitting is something that is very important. And so wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly submitting. Now, what if the husband wants you to disobey God? Well, you know, that's not fit in the Lord, is it? If he wants you to disobey the Lord, that's not fit in the Lord. And in such a case, you obey God rather than men, according to Acts 5:29. But you need to do it properly with the right spirit. Remember when Daniel and his three friends were in Babylon, and the king wanted Daniel and his friends to drink the king's wine and eat the king's meat, which things had been first offered to idols. And Daniel saw that this was a problem. You know, he was not going to defile himself this way and eat those things that had been given to idols. And so, but he asked the jailer, he said to the jailer, "Try us for 10 days. Give us 10 days eating pulse," which is dried vegetables, you know. "Try us 10 days and see how we are after 10 days. And so the jailer said, "Okay, I'll give a try on this. You don't have to eat the king's meat or drink the king's wine. I'll give you a pulse to eat instead." And after 10 days, their flesh was fatter and fairer than those who ate the king's stuff. And then the jailer said, "Okay, you can just continue to have this pulse, this dried vegetables." And you know, they had a right spirit about this. They said, "Give us a try on this." You can read about it in Daniel 1, verses 11 through 16. I think a wife should use the same approach. If the husband says, "I don't want you going to church," she should say, "Honey, give me a try. I will be a better wife when I go to church. I am a better wife when I go to church. When I hear the Word of God, when I'm with the people of God, when I hear the music, it encourages me. It will make me a better wife. Let me go for a month and prove it to you. And you know, you go for that month, and then during that month, you sweetly submit to Him. And before you go to church, you make sure you have a good breakfast for Him. When you come home from church, you make sure you have a good dinner for Him. And then before you go to church on Sunday night, you make sure you have a super supper for Him, okay? And you have all of that planned out. Oh, it's going to take some effort on your part. But you know, you want to show Him that the Lord does make a difference in your life. Sweetly submit. You know, you do it joyfully, you can win Him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse number 1, 1 Peter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection," there it is again, "to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." So here verse 1 is teaching the same thing as Ephesians and Colossians, and it's so important. God repeats it, and He also adds this, that if you submit to Him, then you might be able to win Him. So maybe he's lost. You could win him to the Lord. Or maybe he's not obeying God's command. Maybe he's not obeying God's command to love you the way he should. You know, maybe he's saved, but he's not loving you as he should. You know what? God can use your sweetly submitting to win him to obey God's command to love you. But even if he doesn't come around, you still do what God wants because it's what God wants, and He'll bless you for it. A wife told her husband that she had gotten saved. And the next weeks, he deliberately made her life miserable. And I don't know exactly what he did, but, he just made her life miserable. Husbands can do that without even trying at times. But through it all, she sweetly submitted. He then said to her, "I have been horrible to you, yet you have submitted. Now I know that you really got saved. And it made such a difference in your life that I want to be saved as well." What a thing. You know, it's not easy to submit to a husband who's not obeying the word, but the Lord can give you the grace to do it. Just think of this. You are doing it because your God and your Savior commands you to do it. Do it for the Lord, and He can give you the strength to do it. And so, wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly submitting, and you may win your husband. Look at verse 2. It says, "While they behold your chaste conversation, your life coupled with fear." So here's this word for fear again, the same word that's used in Ephesians 5:33. And again, the idea is that you show him great respect. Verse 3, "whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Here's something that God values. Do you value what God values? God says a meek and quiet spirit in a woman is of great price in His eyes. Meek means mild and gentle, and we know what quiet is, right? And God puts a premium on your being meek and mild and gentle and quiet, being a sweetheart. He values it. You know, some women, however, are not meek and quiet. They have to get their 2 cents in worth no matter how rough it is. They have to raise their voice louder than anyone else's. But that's not what God wants. And then there are some women, they emphasize the outside as they have the finest of clothes, the best of makeup, the nicest of hair, but inside they're anything but sweet. God says the hidden man of the heart, he wants you in your heart to be sweet. No amount of makeup can hide from God what you really are. God wants you in your heart to be a sweet. It starts with your heart. Look at verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, verse 5 again brings up subjection. I know the Bible repeatedly mentions this. Why do you think that is? Could it be that this is something with which women particularly struggle? And it needs to be repeated. The fact that it is said once makes it important to God. The fact that he says it now, I think 5 times, makes it especially important. God makes it clear what he wants. Now you, as a woman, you may be more educated, taller, stronger, better looking, and make more money than your husband. But you are to submit. Notice how Sarah sets the example, calling Abraham Lord. That doesn't mean that she looked at him as God. But what it means is that she addressed him respectfully. She had the utmost honor for him. She didn't say, "Hey, you! If you want your supper, it's on the table. Come and get it." No. She addressed him respectfully. That's sweetly submitting, isn't it? So wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly submitting. That's the first thing. Second, wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly surrendering in the bedroom. Now, some might be surprised to hear a preacher say, wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly surrendering in the bedroom. But consider what the Bible teaches. When God created man and woman, he made them so that they could engage in a sexual way. And he encouraged Adam and Eve in that. Look at, I'll read it to you. Genesis 1, 27 and 28 says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. He made them with that capacity, and he encouraged them in that. And after all of the creating, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, Genesis 1:31. That means that the sexual relationship, the marital relationship between a man and his wife is something that God said was very good. Very good. God sanctions it. And in the New Testament, he reiterates this, saying marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Now, sometimes people get the wrong idea and they somehow think that all relations with a man, even in marriage, is unclean. But no, God says that in marriage, it's undefiled. That in marriage, it's very good. Maybe you had somebody abuse you as a girl or as a woman. That's a horrible thing. But you need to understand that with your husband, God wants you to be a sweetheart by sweetly surrendering in the bedroom, no matter what happened prior to marriage. This is God's plan. Proverbs 5:18 and 19 says this, Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Now, for this to happen, the wife must be a sweetheart by sweetly surrendering in the bedroom. The Song of Solomon demonstrates this. The Song of Solomon is an actual account of Solomon and his bride. Some people say, oh, no, it's all allegorical. It's all a symbol. No, it's not. It presents to us the wonderful view that God has of married love. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 1. And it says this. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. And so, this says, Paul's writing this to the local church. God had Paul write this to a local church. So this is instruction to a local church. This is something that our local church needs to hear. He says a man ought not to touch a woman. That's before marriage. And that touch there is romantic touching. Now, after marriage, of course, he can touch her. In fact, God encourages the touching after marriage. But before marriage, he discourages it. You know what? If you don't touch before marriage, you won't fornicate. Now, passions inside two young people can easily be inflamed through touch. And that couple could cross the line. So a good principle to have is this. The first girl I kiss, other than my grandmother, mother, sister, aunt, so forth, the first girl that I kiss will be my wife, and I will wait till the wedding day to do it. It will be a sweet, sweet kiss. Notice in verse 2 that God says to avoid fornication, a man should have a wife, and a wife should have a husband. God wrote this. The Lord knows the passions within us. And he knows the proper way to handle those passions is marriage. This is God's counsel. Look at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And so God says both are to submit to one another in the marital relationship. And so as a wife, you do not have power over your own body. You are not to hold back from your husband. This is very important, because if you defraud, that's the word, defraud, that means to deprive someone of something that belongs to him. That's what defraud means. Deprive someone of something that belongs to him. So you don't belong to yourself, you belong to your husband. But if you say no to your husband, you're defrauding him, and then that gives Satan an opportunity to tempt him, and your husband may fall into adultery. Would you want to be somebody who encouraged your husband to commit adultery because you defrauded him? Women, you don't want to be in that place. One day a woman called Pastor Jordan, and she said, Pastor Jordan, get over here real quick. Something horrible has happened. So Pastor Jordan got over there real quick, goes into the apartment, And there on one side of the living room, sitting on a chair, is the husband. He's got his head in his hands. He is so ashamed. He's so embarrassed. Maybe he's even sobbing. On the other side of the living room is the wife. And she says to the husband, once Pastor Jordan gets there, she says, "Go ahead, tell him what you did. Go ahead, tell him what you did." And the husband says, "Oh, Pastor, I've just committed adultery." And the wife says, "See, I told you something horrible has happened here. Now, Pastor, what are you going to do with him?" Well, Pastor Jordan said to the wife, he says, "I want to know something." And he said, "When was the last time that the two of you engaged in the marital relationship?" And she said, "Pastor, I have not let that man touch me for the last 20 years. Wow. You know what? She was just as much at fault as he. Maybe more so. Wives, you put your husbands in great peril if you're not being a sweetheart by sweetly surrendering in the bedroom. Now, in light of this teaching that God gave to the local church, let me point out a few things. I remember hearing Pastor Anderson say that if a woman got saved and her husband was not saved, she should go home and sweetly surrender to him in the bedroom and let him see that her being saved has made her a better wife. And that when he sees how good it is for him, maybe he'll want the same Savior that she has found. Now, may I add that if he is saved, and he's not been a Prince Charming, if you will be a sweetheart by sweetly surrendering in the bedroom, that can transform him into a Prince Charming. You know, it's sort of like this, ladies. You know the story. The princess kisses the frog, the ugly frog. She's kind to the ugly frog. She kisses the slimy frog. She's so nice to him. She's such a sweetheart to him. And the frog changes into a prince. Wow! Maybe your husband's been acting like a frog lately. Croaking. Making croaking noises. You know, if you were a sweetheart to him, maybe you could change him into a prince. You have a part in it. You have a big part in it. Be a sweetheart by sweetly surrendering in the bedroom. Now, this means that you'll not use the marital relationship as a bargaining chip. I'll only surrender to you in the bedroom, if you do exactly what I say. That's not sweetly surrendering. That's holding him hostage. Years ago, in Enfield, a wife was concerned about her husband's drinking, as she should have been. He shouldn't have been drinking, but she was concerned about it. And the thing about it is that when he drank, he desired her. And she wondered if on those occasions she should defraud him because he was drunk or close to being drunk. And I told her that would not be right to defraud him. You know, eventually that man got right with the Lord. And her sweetly surrendering in the bedroom probably had a part in helping him to get right. This is important, that you be a sweetheart by sweetly surrendering in the bedroom. It's so important that God had Paul write about it here to the local church in Corinth. This is something then that needs to be preached in local churches. It says here, defraud not. Don't withhold it. Don't say no. nor is it something that you grudgingly give. Okay, I'll do it, but I don't want to. No, as a wife, you need to realize that most husbands have a stronger desire and drive in this area than you do. And so don't think that your husband is some sort of maniac or a beast. No, he's normal. Who most likely will need and desire the marital relationship more than just once a week. And if you are holding back, you're putting him on edge, and it could contribute to his being short, losing his temper, not loving you, and other things. So wives, you do yourself a great disservice when you're not sweetly surrendering in the bedroom. You put your marriage on edge. Having said all of this, as a husband, you need to be understanding if your wife is sick or distraught. But wives, don't just come up with excuses, or else you're driving a big-time wedge in your home that is trying to split that home wide open. And you better not act all innocent if things get rough in your home. Now, what if after hearing this, your wife just doesn't obey the scriptures? What if you're in a situation where your wife has left you, or you're divorced or something, or your wife has died? You know what? These things are difficult, but it doesn't give you a pass to sin. The Lord knew about your situation, and he is touched with the feeling of your infirmity, and he can give you grace and mercy to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:15-16. You know, Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." When Paul had the thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12:9, Christ's grace can get you through it. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And so though it may be hard in your marriage, or it may be hard in your life, the Lord has what you need if you look to him. Wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart. First, be a sweetheart by sweetly submitting. Second, be a sweetheart by sweetly surrendering in the bedroom. Third, wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly speaking. Proverbs speaks of the woman who is not sweetly speaking and the damage it can cause in a home. Look at Proverbs 19:13. The book of Proverbs mentions this several times, and it's something that women, you need to know. Proverbs 19:13, it says this: "A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping." The continual dropping refers to water dripping. Drop, 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 drop. Am I annoying you yet? I'll go on. Drop. Drop, 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 drop. Stop it, I'm going crazy. All right, right? It doesn't seem like the dripping will ever stop, right? And such are the contentions of a wife. She could drive her husband crazy. I remember some years back going to visit a man and his wife. The wife was a Mormon. And as I talked to her about the Mormon church, showing her that it was wrong, according to the Bible, it's wrong, she said to her husband, "Are you going to let him talk to me like that? I can't believe that you're just sitting there. He just insulted me, and you are doing nothing. I can't believe you. If you really love me, you would throw him out the house." You know, on and on she went, okay? Raising her voice, screeching, all that stuff, okay? I was thinking any moment now that husband's going to get up and say, "Get out of here, buddy." But he didn't move. He did not budge. And I sort of suspect that this was the way she was. And he was just worn out from it all. She just wore him out. She was a continual dropping. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 9. Proverbs 21, 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Brawling refers to a contentious woman, angry, critical, bitter, unthankful, fault-finding. Can you, and it says here, you know, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a wide house with such a woman. You know what the corner of the housetop is? Go up into your attic. If you don't have an attic, just imagine this. Here's the slope of your roof. Here's the floor in the attic. The corner is right there where the slope of the roof meets the floor. You know, right there in that corner, it's really cramped. You got to crawl to get into there. And if you ever have to work in that part of your house, you're bumping your head, maybe you're banging on the roofing nails that are coming through on the other side of the sheathing, and you know, you're scraping up your elbow and your knuckles. And then if you have to live up there, you know what it is to be living up there in that corner of the, you know, in the summer it gets blazingly hot. And in the winter it gets just tremendously cold. And God says it'd be better to live up there in the blazing heat of the summer in that cramped space and in the freezing cold of the winter than to be in this nice, wide, palatial house with a brawling woman. Wow. That says quite a bit, doesn't it? It gives us quite a picture of how horrible it is to be in such a house with a brawling woman. And so, wives, you can make your house most miserable by your sharp, critical speech. And so, rather, what you should do is to do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly speaking. Look at Proverbs 21:19. It says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Now, when it says here to dwell in the wilderness, it's not talking about going camping. Some men prefer to be outside, under the stars, sleeping bag, camping, maybe a tent if it's needed, you know? Lean-to. This isn't talking about camping. This is just being out there exposed to the elements. No tent, no bag, no backpack. Just being out there. Being beaten on by the elements. The cold, the wind, the rain, the sun, the wild animals, whatever it is. He says, it's better to do that, to be there, than to be with a contentious and an angry woman. Contentious, that's the same word for brawling up there in verse 9. And an angry, the Bible translates elsewhere as wrath, indignation, and spite. You know, the angry and contentious woman just can drive people out of the home. So women, if very few people want to be with you, if very few people enjoy your company, if they don't invite you over, they exclude you, you might look right here. Am I critical? Do I have a sharp, bitter tongue? Am I unthankful? Am I angry? Am I contentious? Am I always on edge? You know? Am I pleasant to be? Is my speech pleasant? Is it gracious words? The words that edify? If not, you're driving people out of your life. Maybe your own family doesn't want to come and see you because of this. You know, this angry and contentious, that describes a woman who's upset and maybe even out of control. And so, wives, if you are screeching, yelling, crying, swearing, and carrying on, you can drive your husband right out of the home. A critical wife is a real blight in the home. Some wives are so sharp and critical, they have no need for a knife in the silverware drawer. They got a big, long one coming out of their mouth. Rather than being angry, be thankful. Be thankful for your husband. Him? Be thankful for him? Yeah, I'm sure there's something for which you can find to be thankful. Something. You may have to look hard, but keep looking. And maybe you'll find something and start there. Be thankful for your husband. Be thankful for your home. Be thankful for what you have. Sometimes women complain about their husbands. Oh, he's not perfect. We all know that. Maybe he can work harder. But you know what? If you're being thankful and if you're sweetly speaking, you might be able to encourage him to try harder. Be a crown. Be a crown to your husband's head. Be a crown. Rather than a frown on his forehead. Be a crown on his head rather than a frown on his forehead. And you know what? If you're the crown on his head, my, I think he'll treat you much better. I think he'll value you. I think he'll rejoice. So wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly speaking. Look at Proverbs 27:15. Proverbs 27:15. Proverbs 27 and verse 15. And it says this: a continual dropping in a very rainy day, and the contentions and a contentious wife, a woman, are alike. This is the fourth time the Bible mentions this. Four times. It seems that this may be something to which women are susceptible and need to counteract. How do you counteract it? Counteract it with thankfulness. Thankfulness. Let me give you an example. Maybe it's raining. And you say, "Oh no, it's raining. Harry, I can't believe this. What are we going to do now? I had a whole day planned about being outside. We were going to go out. We were going to have a picnic. We were going to walk. We were going to do this and that. And now it's raining. It's all ruined, Harry. What are we going to do?" On and on she goes. Can't get it out of her mind. It's raining. She blames the weatherman. And you know, maybe she even blames her husband, acts like it's her husband's fault. "You planned this for this day, didn't you know it was going to rain? You should have planned better, you know." And oh, whoa, calm down, you know. Maybe you need to put her in a straitjacket. Put a gag in her mouth. You know, you better repent and replace those contentions with thankfulness so that you say, instead of complaining, "Lord, thank you for the rain. It helps the flowers to bloom and to grow. And Lord, it reminds me of the song, 'There shall be showers of blessing.'" And you sing it, and your husband may fall over. "My wife is singing. What has come over her? She sounds so sweet." How much more pleasant to hear sweet singing than the ranting and ravings of an out-of-control woman. Wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly speaking. Now, sometimes a spouse can think that a problem in the marriage is all the other person's fault. It's all his fault. If he'd be better, I'd be better. But you know what? In a marriage, many times it's both people who are at fault. Don't just blame your husband, but see where you have failed and get it right. Humble yourself before the Lord. Acknowledge to your husband that you've sinned. And while the husband ought to take the lead in these things and acknowledge his faults first, yet if he's not doing that, then you acknowledge your faults, and maybe that will encourage him to get some things right with you. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And so this is part of speaking sweetly. Your soft answer can turn away his wrath and make things more pleasant in your house. So wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly submitting. Wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly surrendering in the bedroom. Wives, do your part. Be a sweetheart by sweetly speaking. And all of this can have a big impact in your home. You can influence your marriage for good. Be a sweetheart, because that's what Scripture says you should be, regardless of what your husband does. I'll be a sweetheart if he'll be a Prince Charming first. No. You be a sweetheart regardless of what he's doing. You do what's right. If I be a sweetheart and he's not a Prince Charming, he's going to take advantage of me. Maybe he will, but you know what? You go ahead by faith, and you do what's right, and you trust God. That's how we live the Christian life, by faith. We go ahead by faith. You go ahead by faith, and God will bless you for it. Now, men, if your wife is a sweetheart, then thank her for being a sweetheart. You know what? This is Father's Day, right? And we think that the dads should have a parade, right? It's Father's Day. They should have a big cake and a big meal, you know, put their feet up on the hassock, you know, and sip iced tea and whatever else, you know. But Dad, you wouldn't be a dad if it weren't for your wife. And if she's a sweetheart, and we have some sweethearts, I know we do. My wife is my sweetheart. She's a sweetheart. You should tell your wife, honey, I'm glad you're my sweetheart. Let her know that. And if you're not saved, you don't get saved by trying to be a sweetheart. No, you get saved by acknowledging that you're full of sin. That there's nothing you can do to save yourself. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you see that Jesus paid it all. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He was buried and he rose again. He's the only one who can save you. It's not Mary. It's not a baptism. Not a church. It's Jesus alone. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you go to Jesus and you call out to him and acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner. I'm headed for hell. And I'm putting all my faith and trust in you. Please save me. And if you do that, he'll save you. And then he makes you somebody who's accepted with God. He cleanses away all your sins. He makes you right with the Lord. If you're not saved, come to Jesus today. Let's pray. You take and bow your heads, close your eyes. We have our prayer and invitation time. As the Lord's spoken to you today, do you know for sure that you're saved? Only Jesus can save you. There's none other. And so if you've never been saved, would you come to Christ today? Would you receive him as your Savior? Would you call out to him, putting all your faith and trust in him, call out to him and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm headed for hell because of my sin. I know that only you can save me. Please save me. You know, if you pray that, mean and believe it, the Lord will save you today. The Bible says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you're already saved, maybe you need to make some decisions. Maybe as a wife, you need to say to your husband, "Honey, will you forgive me? I've not been a sweetheart. In a number of areas, I've not been a sweetheart. Forgive me." And then you seek to change. You ask the Lord to help you to be different. And the Lord helping you, you can carry it out. And you'll have a better home for it. Even if he doesn't get with it, God will see what you're doing and bless you personally for it. And if you're not married, would you purpose in your life and your heart to do what's right before God? To wait till marriage. And as a husband, would you thank God if your wife's a sweetheart? Would you try to encourage her to be a sweetheart by your being a Prince Charming? As we pray silently, might the Lord help you to do that which would most please him. Let's pray. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I wonder if you made that decision in that quiet prayer time. Did you pray and did you ask Jesus to save you just a moment ago? Did you pray and ask Jesus to save you? If you did, would you quietly acknowledge it by lifting up a hand? Anybody like that? Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look at these things, and I pray, Lord, that we would receive them as from thee. We see the teaching of Scripture and seek to be what you'd have us to be. Not ignore it, but follow it and believe thee for a blessing in our lives. It may be, Lord, that things may not change with our spouse, but Lord, we do what you want us to do and you can bless us personally and individually. I know, Lord, there's some people that are having very great difficulties. And I pray, Lord, to strengthen them, help them, give them grace. May they look to thee for that grace and mercy to help. May they look to Jesus for strength. May they do what they should do and to trust thee to work. Lord, we look to thee for these things. Blessed as we have our invitation hymn, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You take a hymn.